Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Afternoon or morning or evening, wherever each and every one of you might be. What a pleasure it is to be able to come to you again with another edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We do thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And, of course, today we will be delighted to have with us Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He is a great friend of the program and filled in, actually, for Dave and Sam and I last Thursday and did an excellent job. And we know that when Jimmy speaks, everybody listens, and or everybody should want to listen because of the great authority that he is. And so we are delighted to have him with us. We are delighted to have each and every one of you with us. And we want to go right into a discussion on something that Pastor Jeffries said concerning the situation over in Paris from his pulpit on Sunday morning. And Dave Kistler, why don't you set this up a little bit for us, please?
Well, Gary, I'd be delighted to. This past Sunday morning, at the very outset of his message, Dr. Robert Jeffries of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, made a succinct, scriptural, and powerful statement relative to what should be the appropriate Christian response to evil, and more specifically to an attack like this and to that entity that has been wreaking havoc all across the Middle East called ISIS. He made a phenomenal statement about how Christians should approach that. So we're going to listen to the clip, and following that, we'll come back and have some brief discussion.
Before I begin this morning, I feel like I need to address the tragedy we all witnessed this weekend in Paris. What should be our response to that tragedy? Certainly, as Christians, we should be praying for the victims and the victims' families. Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted." But I believe that as Christians, we need to do more than simply pray. I believe it is time for us to lay aside political correctness and identify the belief system that is responsible for these horrific acts, and that is the evil, evil religion of radical Islam. That is the belief system that inspired this tragedy. And make no mistake about it, Islam is just not another way to approach God. Islam is a false religion, and it is inspired by Satan himself, who Jesus said came to steal, kill, and destroy. And this weekend, we saw the fruit of Satan's destruction in the acts of these terrorists. It is impossible to separate what these eight suicide bombers did from their faith, their religion that inspired them to do this. These terrorists were not acting in opposition to the teaching of Islam. They were acting according to the teaching of Islam. And let me illustrate that for you. Compare Islam to Christianity. As Christians, we follow the Bible. We follow the New Testament specifically. You cannot find a verse anywhere in the New Testament that commands us to kill unbelievers. But the Quran, the book of Muslims, is laced with verse after verse that says, kill the infidels. That's people like you and me. Over and over again, 35 different sword verses in the Quran commanding violence. Jesus is the founder of our faith. He is known as the Prince of Peace. He didn't kill anyone. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, was a prince of war. He slaughtered thousands. At one time alone, he beheaded 600 Jews who wouldn't follow him into battle. Jesus, the founder of our faith, said, love your enemies. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, said, kill your enemies, amputate their limbs. The reason I am bringing this up is, ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely impossible to defeat an enemy you are unwilling to identify.
Russ, we'll stop the clip right there. Gary, Sam, he goes on and he makes a strong distinction between what ought to be the Christian individually as far as a response toward someone who commits an act of violence. That is, there ought to be forgiveness on the individual by the individual person if an offense has been committed against them. But it is in no way government's role to forgive. According to Romans 13, it's government's role to praise good and punish evil. And gentlemen, he draws a much needed distinction and a much needed statement that needs really to be broadcast all over America relative to what should be the appropriate governmental response to an act like we saw take place in Paris, France over the weekend.
Yes, and I think he did a very, very fine job at that. And I think people fail to understand what government is for, Dave and Sam. You know, Romans chapter 13 very clearly brings it out that they are there to stand against evil. Government is there to stand against evil. It is there to stand against evil. And the government has one responsibility. You and I as individuals have another responsibility. And it's important for the government to fulfill its responsibility. It's interesting, I noted this morning that they are reporting that Vladimir Putin said in relationship to ISIS that it is God's responsibility to forgive them, but it's our responsibility to take them into the presence of God. Now, you know, that's a statement that we've heard. I think the Marines talk about that, don't they? But that was interesting that Putin came out with that statement, Sam.
Well, Gary, I think it is because, but fundamentally on this point, he is correct. Gary, I believe, and I'm glad that we played that clip, but I'm telling you, I am amazed. I continue to be amazed about cross-Christendom in this country. There is a division emerging with some who are saying, we must step back. We must turn the other cheek. It is an ungodly position to say that we should close the border to these Syrian Muslims that are coming in, that it is all about Christianity. Gentlemen, the Bible is not divided within itself in what it says. I believe that our president, Islam itself, even the leaders in Europe, by participating and helping to bring in all of these individuals, are creating division. Division is a mark. Division is a mark of the devil himself. And I believe that the Christian church and those in America here, our pulpits and our Christians, must not be following the same line, believing what they are. The goal is to divide. The Bible does not divide, and I believe what Robert Jeffress did there was to lay out a very clear point, and we've tried to emphasize it on this program on many occasions, and why we're bringing it up here again today.
Well, I find that there are many people in the Christian community who are divided over this, and you know, I was just talking to a couple of people yesterday who said, well, we ought to be kind and turn the other cheek. Dave, that doesn't necessarily apply to this situation.
Gary, it doesn't apply at all. And yesterday I received a very troubling email from a dear friend of mine who's a member of a church in the Northwest United States stating the same thing that he heard it in Sunday school. Well, we should turn the other cheek with respect to ISIS. No, ISIS is an evil that our government has a divine obligation to get rid of and to destroy.
That's why it is so important, ladies and gentlemen, to get to know the Word of God and to allow the Word of God to be our authority. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us, and I'm certain that he has a lot of good things to say on this subject as well as other things that's on his heart, so don't you go away. This is Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network. Stay tuned. We will return in about 4 minutes.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Jesse James was killed. Telephone lines connected New York and Chicago, and international time zones were set. This all happened during the term of President Chester Arthur, who died this day, November 18, 1886. The son of a Baptist minister from Ireland, Arthur became an abolitionist lawyer defending the rights of blacks and served as Inspector General during the Civil War. When James Garfield was assassinated, President Arthur wrote, "The deep grief which fills all hearts should manifest itself with one accord toward the throne of infinite grace. We should bow before the Almighty and seek from Him consolation in our affliction."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today, and we're going to invite Dr. Jimmy DeYoung to be with us in just a moment. But before we do, I want to drop back and speak pastor to pastor, if I may, for a little bit. You just heard what Dr. Jeffries had to say at his church down at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas this past week about that attack that ISIS brought upon Paris last Friday and how we should respond to it. And, you know, I changed my message on Sunday morning to preach on that very subject. Actually, I changed it at about 9 o'clock Saturday night in reference to the message on Sunday morning. And, you know, as pastors, we have a great responsibility to preach to the circumstances and the situations of the day. And I trust that those of you who are pastors took the opportunity last Sunday to preach on the situation over in Paris, France, and how we should respond to it from the biblical perspective. If you have not done that, again, as pastor to pastor, I would truly encourage you to do it. I believe it's your responsibility. Your people in your congregation are wondering what to do next. Where should we turn? On one hand, the Bible says that we are to turn the other cheek. And on the other hand, Romans chapter 13 says that government is up there to be a terror to evil. And, you know, how does that come together? And how should we respond? What should we do about ISIS and so forth? And what is Islam? These are subjects that ought to make any pastor's pulpit hot and on fire these days, according to the truth of the Scripture. And so, pastors, I just challenge you to deal with this situation as Dr. Jeffries did, and maybe others have, as I did. It's your responsibility, as I see it. Maybe I'm out there in left field somewhere. I don't know. But there are people in the pew who need to know what the Word of God has to say about these issues, and particularly about this major issue of ISIS that we are facing today, and how to deal with it, and how to deal with the refugees. And I know I could go on and on and on. I don't want to do that today. But pastors, I remind you of your great responsibility to deal with this from the authority of the Word of Almighty God, the Holy Bible. Now, having said all of that, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, I will be quiet and sorry for taking your time. I want to invite you in on the discussion here. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on what's taking place these days from Paris until where we are this very moment?
Well, let me just discuss with those eavesdropping on this conversation what you guys have been talking about. And you're right on target, I do believe. And I think the message from the pastor there at First Baptist in Dallas was appropriate. I would just suggest that some of the responses by the Sunday school teacher that Dave was talking about, who's saying, turn the other cheek, that you need to understand what God's Word is really saying. When you're talking about turning the other cheek, that's found in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. If you understand hermeneutically what that's talking about, that's a message that Jesus Christ was giving the Jewish people at the time when he was on earth in ministry, offering the kingdom. He presented himself as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, I have come to give you the kingdom. Now, the Jewish people failed to believe what Jesus had to say, and so he postponed the kingdom, not to do away with it. He did not negate it. He postponed it and made a promise that indeed he would give them that kingdom. But in that in that Sermon on the Mount, again, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, when the phrase is used, turn the other cheek, he was teaching the Jewish people how they were to live during the kingdom period. We're not in the kingdom period. That is yet to come. So when you take scripture and try to use it to prove your points, you've got to make certain that you're using the proper scripture for the right time in history. That put aside, Romans does say that the government was brought to protect us. You know, really, the Constitution, when you look at it bottom line, and when you look at God's giving of the institution of government, you have to recognize government was brought into existence for two things: to protect us externally from any external threat, and to protect us internally from any internal threat that may come upon us. All this welfare program, all the highway systems, everything else, that has been added on and encumbered those who really want to abide by God's prophetic word, God's word of giving of government, and, of course, ultimately, the Constitution. And so when you study God's Word, let's be on target. Let's exegete it right. Let's give the proper hermeneutic to it and teach what it's teaching, not just bring some verse up because it sounds good and seems to be appropriate for the time.
Well, Jimmy, thank you for that. And I'm going to jump in now and go further on this. Let's go over to the broader impacts that we're seeing from what ISIS now is. I mean, it's consuming the narrative of the world. And clearly they have now come out and they've threatened Rome, London, Washington, D.C. Some are saying they've threatened Russia, too, since Russia now has officially identified it was a terrorist bomb that took the plane down. But, you know, it's a strange thing that we're fighting, because even though we call it Islamic State, they don't have very much geographical territory. They're not a national threat such as, you know, fighting North Korea or China or Russia. I want you to just go forward and say, you know, can we how do we fight an enemy that is primarily ideologically? Can the battle against ISIS even be won, even if you were to take and turn the current geographical area in Syria to a sea of glass? I mean, what kind of enemy are we fighting here, Jimmy?
Ideology is something similar to a forest fire. You may try to stomp it out right here, but when you do that, you put flames in other areas of the forest, and the fire comes back into existence. So I believe it's going to be very difficult to destroy the ideological understanding of a people who have come into a satanic religion. Let me go back again to the discussion about what the pastor should be saying. When you look at Islam itself, you have to understand it is satanic, and God's word will give us the definition of it. You go to 1 John chapter 2, chapter 4, it says, anyone who says that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God and the living flesh is an antichrist. Now, that's as bottom line as you can possibly be. That's what has to be said. Recognizing then it is of the devil, we have to understand Daniel chapter 10 says the devil will use his minions, in other words, evil angels, to energize world political leaders to accomplish his will. I don't know if you've noticed it, but a lot of the people that have been looking at the Paris situation have made the statement. In fact, Vladimir Putin brought it to my attention. He made the statement that 40 nations of the world are now giving financial assistance to Islamic State and that philosophy that we're trying to destroy because of what it's doing to our world and our people. You look at the fact that G20 just recently met in Turkey, and he said members of G20 are helping support the ideology that is destroying people in Paris, France, people in Israel. In fact, under attack, Islamic State is knocking out, as you just mentioned. They're going after Russia. That's an absolute. They're going to attack in Russia. Washington, D.C. is next. London is right down the road. Every major city is on the range of target in the crosshairs for Islamic State in order to be able to do what they're doing. They are not a nation, because in order to be a nation, you have to have a government, number one. You have to have, number two, a piece of real estate. And you have to have a people that are going to recognize your government on that piece of real estate. Now, they've captured some real estate, but they're losing real estate as well. The Kurds just took back Sinjar, for example, and that was a pretty big stronghold as far as Islamic State's concerned. We're not dealing with the geography. I think, and I heard a Kurdish leader say on the BBC this morning, that if indeed we had a world global effort to get rid of Islamic State, at least you could wipe out the geography they're using. Raqqa in northern Syria could be the international headquarters for Islamic State, but we need to go wipe it out. You need to get rid of the training fields in Syria, in Iraq, that are training these radical Islamists, this jihadist from all over the world, coming not only from what we consider an Islamic nation, but the United States, European Union, Russia themselves have members of Islamic State in there. And that's how we're seeing everything fall apart. The guys that were the ones involved, the most of them, they're in Paris, were not necessarily from the Islamic countries. I think there was one who came through Greece who was a part of the migrants that were making their way into Europe, but they were from Brussels, Belgium, from Copenhagen. I mean, this thing is spreading, and that's what you're talking about, Sam. That ideology is leaping all over the United States. The only thing we can do is stay true to the Word of God, teach the Word of God, what His truth says, and then try to bring down that ideology.
And Jimmy, I agree with you 100%. And of course, that's where we stand here at the American Pastors Network, to teach the Word of God, stay true to the Word of God, and of course, apply the Word of God to every aspect of our life individually, governmentally, and worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Jimmy DeYoung with us today on the Stand in the Gap radio program. We'll continue our discussion with him as it relates to ISIS and Middle East and Russia and other important elements therein. So don't go away. We will take about a 3-minute break, and then we will be back right after that. Stay tuned.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. New claims from the Islamic State terrorist group.
In the latest issue of the Islamic insurgents' English language magazine, ISIS published a picture of the explosive device it says brought down the Metrojet airliner that killed all 224 people on board. The Russian jet broke apart in midair over the Sinai Peninsula last month. ISIS also published a page appearing to show the bodies of Norwegian and Chinese captives. The militants demanded a ransom for them 2 months ago.
Fox's Jessica Gallagher. A lot of cleanup in Washington state after a storm that brought down trees and power lines, knocking out power to 300,000 people.
We've just been sitting with candles and listening to music and playing games on our phones.
3 people have been killed by fallen trees, and some rivers are flooded.
This is the highest I've seen it, and it's a little unsettling.
A bunch of schools in Washington state are closed today. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of 2 men or 2 women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are delighted to have you with us, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dull, and of course we have Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us, and we are talking about what's taking place over in Paris, what's taking place over in the Middle East. And Jimmy, my question to you right now, and then I know David Kistler has a question, is this. Do you think that President Barack Obama is going to become more strong, going to become stronger against his fight against ISIS? And, of course, I say that because of what he said yesterday in his press conference from Turkey. And I will repeat this. He says this, and I quote, "Our goal, as I've said many times, is to degrade and ultimately destroy this barbaric terrorist organization," end quote. Now, Jimmy, my question to you is, can we believe that or not?
Well, we can believe that he made the statement. I've got to tell you, Gary, he's making all kinds of statements. But do we believe that that philosophy, that approach militarily, is the way to do it? I would disagree. I have some very close friends at the Pentagon. I've talked to one man who is involved in helping develop the strategy for the entire military there at the Pentagon. He says there's no way that you can use airstrikes to destroy Islamic State. There's no way that that's going to accomplish the ultimate goal. You must have boots on the ground in order to be able to do that. And when I was, as I reported earlier, talking or listening actually to the Kurdish leader and head of intelligence for the Kurdish people, the community living there in northern Iraq, he said, look, you could do away with Islamic State, at least their geographical aspect of their entire philosophy, and in about a month, maybe even 2 weeks, if we had a global effort to accomplish that, but it's going to take boots on the ground. They give absolute evidence that's the case because the Kurds have been the only ones successful being able to do anything, but you then have to bring to the attention of the world, too, Russia has boots on the ground. Iran has boots on the ground. They're located in Syria. They're going after Islamic State. Now, they're doing some other things to help prop up Bashar Assad as well. But indeed, they are being, to some extent, successful against Islamic State. But they have air power over the skies of Syria, over the skies of Iraq, and they have boots on the ground to accomplish. So the president, I think, is whistling a tune he doesn't understand, and indeed his military people are very frustrated trying to get him to do what needs to be done. We need to fight. He has the philosophy of the guy, turn the other cheek. I tell you what, King David said, as he prayed, he said, teach my hands how to fight, teach my fingers how to kill. And that was biblical authority for what we need to be doing with these people who are killing other people.
Dr. Jimmy, this is Dave. In the days that have followed the attack, this horrific attack in Paris, France, there have been a number of people, Colonel Ralph Peters, who has been a real opponent of the president and a very clear voice relative to what we're facing with Islamic ideology. He and others, in fact, some of them have been, those on the left, have begun to converse using this terminology that our war is not just with the Islamic State or ISIS, as we sometimes call them, but our war is actually with the ideology, the religion of Islam itself. Now, there's a lot of confusion about this. There are people that use the term radical Islam versus, you know, as said, in juxtaposition with Islam itself. This is an opportunity, Dr. Jimmy, for you to give the most definitive answer possible to this. Are we at war with the religion of Islam, with the ideology of Islam, or are we at war with some aberrant, radical component thereof? Give us a definitive answer to that, if you would, please.
We are at war with Islam, the philosophy, the ideology, the religiosity of Satan is the battle that we have. And there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. If a person is a true Muslim, he must abide by the five pillars of the Islamic faith. And he has to believe in the Quran as the authority from Allah himself, who was able to get that too through the angel Gabriel. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But to get that to Muhammad, who wrote the Quran, who then had the Hadith, which gives them directives to go out and kill. So we are at war with a philosophy that if people say they are Muslims and true Muslims, and by abiding by the five pillars of the faith, we have to take that down. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim.
Now, Jimmy, I'm going to follow up with an even more difficult question. In this nation of ours, Europe, Western Europe, here in the United States. There are members of Islam seated throughout the communities. We know that. I'm just looking at an article right here. It says they've now rounded up 70 here in the United States that are terrorist related. And so it's out there. Are we going to see an inevitability of a conflict here in our own nation between Islam and those that are not? And how should that be addressed in our thinking?
Well, we have to deal with the situation. One of the problems in Europe, Sam, has been they've allowed free speech too much so. In fact, because of free speech, the Muslim leaders of Europe have been able to incite the Islamic leaders and workers there in Europe to accomplish what they did in Paris. The same thing is happening in the United States. Free speech is not to stand up in a theater and yell fire unless there is really a fire. Free speech is staying within the confines of everybody. Look, your free speech stops when it comes against what my philosophy of life is. And if I am the leader of this nation, I need to take a stand against free speech as an incitement of the Islamic world to try to take down the United States of America. James Woolsey, when he was at the Saudi Arabian embassy, picked up a pamphlet. He used to be the CIA director. He picked up a pamphlet, and it said that any Muslim that's in the United States had better be here for one or two purposes, putting together a cell to overthrow America or helping make enough money to support the cell members that are trying to overthrow America. Otherwise, Muslims in the United States are under a death penalty. We need to wake up to reality and deal with the situation. But it goes back. Hey, the church has got to be teaching people. You know, sometimes right. The church are the ones that are causing the problem. They're the weak link in being able to have our leaders stand up. But look at the governors here saying, wait a minute, stop the Syrians from coming in. They're not coming into my state. Well, hello, somebody's waking up to what's going on, and I'm glad to hear that.
Amen. Jimmy, can I ask you a quick question here? And this is a political one that just follows up as a natural outgrowth of what you just said. As you're watching the choices on the political spectrum, those that are on the stage as potential presidents of the United States, how significantly are you factoring in what you just said about Islam, the war we have with Islam, and is the responsibility of an American president to protect us from that? How high on the scale is that in your estimation as you look at potential presidential candidates?
Well, a president has the responsibility as the commander-in-chief to protect this nation, so it has to be the ultimate priority as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying who I'm going to vote for at this point in time, but I am saying a lot of them are talking about the Islamic threat to America. One of them has said no Islamic leader is going to rule this nation as far as I'm a part of the body politic of the nation. That is key. They have a goal. The Islamic world has a goal. I've lived in the Islamic world for the last 25 years. People need to wake up to what they're really doing. In fact, you know, you've got the Islamic world now accusing Israel of being the ones who were responsible for the situation there in Paris, that it wasn't Islamic State, it was the Israeli Mossad. How ridiculous is that? And if you allow that kind of free speech to continue on, you're going to indoctrinate a people who are not ready to give their leaders the backing that they need to do what needs to be done. I think we better hold every candidate for president and any position, governor, senator, United States congressman, etc. I think we need to hold them responsible for where they're going to play their role in protecting America and Americans from the threat of satanic activity.
Jimmy, in everything that you're saying, I think that it's important to make a clarification here, which is what you're saying, but, you know, ISIS, we're talking about ISIS, but ISIS is really only the tip of the iceberg. It's what I refer to as the presentation problem. The real issue that we must be concerned about is Islam itself, correct? I mean, if it was not for Islam, there would be no ISIS. So we need to look beyond ISIS to the real problems and the evil and the wickedness of Islam.
Gary, you're right on. That's exactly right, and that's why what the pastor there in Dallas said, what we've been talking about on the broadcast today, is so key. Train up the people in the pew to recognize truth, God's truth, and his prophetic word, and you'll recognize how all of this is coming together in an end time scenario.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, ladies and gentlemen, and it's always a delight to have him with us. And Jimmy, thank you very much for spending time with us again today on Stand in the Gap. It's always such a blessing to have Jimmy with us. Well, we're going to take about a four-minute break, ladies and gentlemen, and then we shall return with more good information that you'll not want to miss. This is Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network.
Do you have a 401k and are unsure what to do with it? Are your retirement savings actively managed? Hi, this is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
In Psalm 39:7, King David said, "My hope is in the Lord." David's hope wasn't some idle wish. It was a solid confidence that kept him going in the worst of times. Where's your hope? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Having a fixed and certain hope in the Lord is beyond value and measure in our walk with God. It's said that if you take away a man's wealth, you'll hinder him. If you take away a man's purpose, you'll slow him. But if you take away a man's hope, you'll stop him. That's why our personal walk with God must be more than theory. It must be more than a once-a-week prayer or an occasional Bible reading. Our walk with God must revolve around the person of Jesus Christ in a daily walk led of the Spirit of God, not of our ambitions, our goals, or our finances. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network. Can you say with the psalmist, "I will be unmoved because my hope is in the Lord"?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
PA Leadership Charter School, lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers, so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I do want to encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because as I say almost every day, you can correspond with us there, and we encourage you to do that, as well as we encourage you to keep that handy so that when you are traveling and away from your radio station that you listen to, if you can't pick us up somewhere else by way of radio, you can pick us up there on your computer, because that's the online connection with WFYL in the Philadelphia area. So once again, it's www.standinthegapradio.com. You know, it's interesting, men, that we are hearing about a coalition that really is going to be between France, Russia, and the United States of America. As a matter of fact, I think the Wall Street Journal today is reporting it as an anti-ISIS alliance, an anti-ISIS alliance. And, you know, I'm just wondering right now, when we take into consideration the fact that Putin seems to be coming forth in a strong way, and Obama is backing off and just sort of watching the train go by, if indeed there can even be a coalition between France and Russia and the United States that will even work. To be honest with you, Sam, I kind of think that the president of France, Hollande, and of course the president of Russia, Putin, will just run all over Barack Obama. It's not going to be much of an alliance, I don't think. Your thoughts?
Well, Gary, I think that you're totally correct. I think it's a good point to bring up because, you know, when you look at that article, it says, wow, anti-ISIS coalition. And the actual word was in that Wall Street Journal article was that was described, the president of France was describing it as, quote, a grand and single coalition, end quote. Now, that's an amazing thing. And obviously Jimmy's not with us in the program now, but you know, having a European country in an alliance with Russia, or Russia in alliance with the United States, when in fact just a week ago, before this whole thing came up, whatever, we were talking about the impending war conflict between Russia and the United States. And you look at this and you say, how can you go from at one point, one day, a grand alliance to just the other day was an impending nuclear war? I mean, Putin was moving his nuclear missiles around. The U.S. was. How can you go from that to a bold coalition who takes on a common enemy? Gentlemen, I think that really in the middle of this, as we've heard on here before, the weakness of our foreign policy, the weakness of our president, if not the direct strategic involvement to depreciate the strength of the United States and to increase the presence of Islam, that a void is being created into which Vladimir Putin is absolutely overjoyed to step in and to fill. I do not think that this is a coalition that you're going to see equal partners between the U.S. and France and Russia. You are going to see a dominated coalition of which it is Russia and China and India and Iran, which is really the coalition that really counts. They have a coalition, and I don't think we're a part of it.
You know, it appears to me as though we have an imbecile in the White House, in the Oval Office. I mean, I hate to compliment him on that, but you know, take into consideration with what happened in Paris the other day, right away, President Hollande went there and declared war on ISIS. You know, he's fighting it. We know that Putin has sent in some troops and he's fighting it. What are we doing? We're sitting Gary, back watching.
Gary, if our president is imbecilic, he's imbecilic like a fox. And what I mean by that is this. You could not orchestrate purposefully a better game plan for causing the rise of the Islamic State and the rise of Islam itself, the ideology of Islam within the United States of America. You couldn't do it any better than our president has done. And then we have this incredibly imbecilic statement on the part of John Kerry as he was being questioned yesterday, where he comments that the Charlie Hebdo attacks that occurred outside that newspaper, where there were 12, 13 people horrifically butchered, that there was some legitimacy, is the word he used, to that. You know, gentlemen, I mean, We have people that are running this country, the State Department and the White House, that are complicit with this Islamic ideology. There is absolutely no other explanation for it.
Satanic. You know, there is the devil's in high places. And that's why we need to pray for our nation. You know, I think that Satan has a satanic stronghold in Washington, D.C. People who know better or should know better are going along with this president of ours, Barack Obama. Sam, I'm going to ask you to put together your political mind, your spiritual mind, and your biblical mind and answer this question. What really can we expect from Barack Obama in the next 6 months?
Gary, that's a loaded question. I think the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And you can always predict future behavior based upon one's attitude towards truth, the Bible, God, and Jesus Christ, all wrapped up together. What we do know is this, is that this individual has no respect for the Constitution nor for the rule of law. He has a high disregard for Christianity and for Jesus Christ. He has a special enamorment with Islam and those who would seek to harm who and what we are. He has made apologies for the United States around the nations of the world. We all know he's done that. These things are all there. That's past behavior. What does future behavior indicate? That he will continue to do more of the same. And my guess is, gentlemen, that as the end of his term comes, the focus on hope and change, particularly change in America that his promise was, which is what he has done, will not be retreated from, but will be doubled down upon. And I believe that we're going to see much more of the same, not leadership based on justice, not leadership based on the Constitution, but leadership based on division and the undermining of who and all the America is. That is unfortunately what I see. I don't see how anything else can be expected.
Well, I think that you're right on line there and on target there. And you know, I think that if there's ever a time when we here in the United States of America must pray for our nation, it's now. And I want to end the program today, as we've only got 5 seconds left, to challenge the preachers, as I said at the beginning of the program, preach the Word of God, observe what's going on in the world around you, and bring the Word of God to bear on it. Help your people to understand what a biblical worldview is in relationship to all of this, and follow it. That's your responsibility as the pastor in the pulpit. And by the way, if you want to know how, contact us here at the American Pastors Network. We'll do whatever we can to stand with you and to help you in doing that particular thing. Well, our time's up for today. The Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up. And remember, the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.